up with Dr. Leyland. Step into the future, the world is waiting now. Dreams are in the making, we'll show you how. From the books to the screen, from the stage to the stars. Level up your game, let's raise the bar. Innovation, inspiration, it's in our DNA. Breaking through the limits, we're paving the way. Level up, reach the sky, take the lead, don't be shy. Your story's worth it, your light will shine. At Level Up will be heard, building a legacy with every word. From podcasts to pages, from business to art, Level Up's the place where it all can start. With heart and with vision, we're chasing every goal. Together we'll ignite the fire in your soul. Level Up, reach the sky, take the lead. Shy. Your story's worth it, your light will shine. At Level Up Academy, it's your time. Oh, it's your time. At Level Up Academy, we rise and climb.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Thank you guys so much for being here. I appreciate you. Happy Sunday. Thank God for my sister. Otherwise, I'd be super, super late right now. Trying to go to the bathroom. Anyway, happy Sunday, everybody. I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful evening. Tonight, we are actually going to be talking about something important, right? And this is something that my sister and I were talking about, because we were actually discussing, right? Okay, sister, how do you do this? Or what are some of the things that we should be talking about? Or what should we be doing? And she was like, okay, well, do you have anything that you would want to talk about tonight? And I said, yeah, it's Unmute by Design on clarity, right? And the reason I wanted to talk about that is because there's so many chaos going on in the world, right? It could be chaos from your own doing, chaos from other people's doing, or chaos from everything else that's going on. So we're going to go into detail of how Unmute by Design turning chaos into clarity it comes about for you. And what are some of those things that you're actually thinking that could help you? And kind of, you know, sister's like, so you mean you have a framework? It's so funny, guys, because she really knows me so well. in terms of my framework, in terms of, you know, we talked about voice, right? Validate, overcome, expand, and call forth identity. And so we're going to be talking about, you know, a little bit of voice framework, kind of why that's going on with chaos. There's a lot of chaos going on in the life. And excuse Cheerio, she's literally breathing so hard right now. But let's go ahead and talk about sponsors, because I am so happy. Like this right here, Bella Grace, okay, there's a Labor Day exclusive. They never go on sale. I just went today. You have to be a brand new customer. But you basically, if you go into Bella Grace right now with that QR code and go ahead and type Beauty Boost. And so if you have, so Bella Trim, it's basically going to help you with getting your self trimmed, right? Holidays are coming up. Usually they're like $60 and it's 60% off right now. So instead of paying for $60, it's $24. And the Elixir, never, ever, ever have I ever seen it on sale. And right now, if you buy that Elixir, there's like a 30% off. Plus there's a new, like if you subscribe, there's an additional like code. But if you type Beauty Boost, it literally will take $36.45. If you wanted to have the Elixir and the Bella Trim, just one of them, is $132.19. And that includes taxes for me here in California with shipping already. Like both of them literally is less than what you would pay for the Elixir. It's kind of crazy. I was like, what? So that is something that you guys should think about trying it. The Elixir is really good for you, good for your skin, good for your joints, right? So all of those things are amazing things. And this is also the Bella Grace that I use. So I just wanted to remind everybody that that is what I use. I love the Elixir. I love the collagen mist. I love the serum. The serum actually is like a highlighter, like you're glowing, but not greasy. I love it. And then, of course, the lip gloss, right? Make your lips plump because it's throughout the day. That is what I'm going to be talking about tonight. So here I am. Excuse my information in there. This is all my skincare products that you guys are seeing. But tonight is really something about turning chaos into clarity. And usually I start with talking about it right away. But right now I'm going to pull up my sister because I wanted to check in and see how she's doing. All right. Here's my sister. How are you doing, sis?
I'm doing good. I'm doing slow.
Yeah. Well, you know, life.
It is what it is on that point. And so much to do. And still a little time. I took a nap so I could stay up later tonight.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Duke. Duke's saying hello.
It's definitely Duke there.
Yeah, I know. You can tell from the noise, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's so funny. You can tell all my dogs with their noise and all the nonsense that they have. I wanted to also check in how you're doing in terms of Unmute by Design. I think we've been doing this for, has it been a month?
I think it's been at least a month.
Right.
Maybe even 5 weeks-ish.
Yeah. It's been quite, yeah. So how are you feeling about our series?
Oh, I'm loving it. Between the series, the different topics, and somebody's acronym frameworks, it's fun.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I love the voice. You know, that's a framework that I wanted to write a book about also, because it's well researched. I've taught it, you know, for 15 years, and really anybody, not just me, anybody can do the voice framework, right? Validate your silence. When we talk about self-awareness and acceptance, you can't really accept anything you're not aware of, right? Whether it's your growth, it's your chaos, it's your new things that you're doing. You got to be self-aware and then accept it. So validate is for everybody, right? Sometimes you're silenced because you don't know why you're doing it. And sometimes we say, oh, because I'm an introvert, I tend to just be quiet. right? We actually say that sometimes. I've seen people saying that, oh, I'm an introvert, so I don't really talk much. Really, it's not because you're an introvert that you don't talk much. It's because you really don't know why you don't talk much. But if you dig deeper and be self-aware, then you can accept of why. Not because it's your character and you're wearing it. It's because somebody silenced you, right? Somebody silenced you, and it becomes a habit. And then always observe the origin. Do a root cause analysis. Why are you always like this, right? Nobody will really know. You have to be true to yourself to see. And then after you observe, then interrupt the pattern. Have the cognitive disruption. Like, okay, when Susanna does this, I tend to do this. Kind of realize why you're doing it, right? And then create your own counter belief. Empowered and reframe everything that you're trying to do. And that's the hardest part, I think. Trying to stop your pattern of thoughts because you've done it for almost 50 years or almost 60 years or almost 62 years, right? It's hard to change. It's not easy because it's uncomfortable, very uncomfortable, right? And that's the counter belief is the really turning point when you want to reframe. And then embody the new voice, practice and reinforce, because remember, it took 50 years for you to realize what's happening, right? So really, right. That's the voice framework. And I wanted to review that because we're going to go into clarity. And I wanted to see what are some of your thoughts of that voice framework.
Well, I mean, you hit it on the nose, especially with the awareness of why our voice just isn't there. And going through the framework, going through and actually just looking at our past. And when looking at the past, it's like you look at it, you don't stay in it. And seeing where the changes were, where things happened, what happened. Because like in my case, I know when I kind of lost my voice and I know when it started coming back. And there was a half century gap between the two of them. And yet at the same time, when that voice, during the whole time, we still know that the voices, our voice isn't where it's supposed to be throughout all that time. So even when our voice is quiet, at least in my case, it's like I knew something was missing. I maybe couldn't put my finger on it at the time, but I knew there was something missing. And it's having that understanding of what happened and the why, and then what it's going to take to get the voice back. And it's going to be different for each person. But once you've got it back, it starts opening doors to new opportunities.
What are some of those opportunities that you've seen would help reframe? Because I think that's the hardest part, is the reframing of your own thought and your own pattern, right? We tend to go with comfort level that we're comfortable in, and it's really hard to push. Because I know I've seen you cringe when I push you, but you don't say anything. You're just like, okay, fine, because you trust me. But at the same time, not everybody have that same level of trust, right?
And oh, so, definitely not.
Yeah. So how do you, if you don't have anybody that holds you accountable or holds and push you to that same level, how do you pivot and change on your own so that you can go into that comfortable stage?
Well, and I've gone through that. So it's definitely it's still that understanding and that willingness to, which is part of that awareness, to take a step beyond the boundaries, to take a step. It's like you're starting to go in the direction that you know you should go, that your heart's telling you, your soul is telling you this is where you're supposed to go. Once you step beyond those first steps especially are hard because in many ways you're waiting for the pushback. But when there's no pushback, it becomes easier to take the next step and the next step. And oftentimes I think we're going to find there's not going to be the pushback when we do this. And that was what allowed me to get to the point where I could get to the next level, which was finding the right people to connect with and basically let them push me around in its own way. It's not being pushed around really, but it just, you know, you just want to say it because
we just want to went there.
Because of trust, though. You can't do it without trust. So when it's trust, it's like, you should do this. And it might be like, oh, crap. But you take a step. Or why don't you try this outfit in Orlando? Or why don't you?
Yeah.
So it's the trust level is so important, but you've already crossed a lot of bridges to get to that point.
Yeah. And I think also I want to really dig deep. Like, when was the pivotal moment that you decided that you could trust me, even if I push you in certain ways that you're like uncomfortable?
It wasn't long after we met. Probably more of that summertime is when I was starting to see it. And then by getting towards the end of the year, because then you had that summit, so I was part of that summit. The real point was really all of that was leading up to it. Then when you said, do you want to go to PodFest with me? Number one, I don't remember anybody ever doing anything like that. And then number two, you know how much I hemmed and hawed over it until I finally said, okay. And once I asked you your schedule and I did a quick look up that night, it's like it was meant to be. And the whole time, because every time I told you about anything I was worried about, the whole time you were there going, I got your back. Don't worry about it. I got your back. And I trusted that. And that's exactly what you did. And quite frankly, the minute we met in the airport, it's like we'd never been apart. So that was also so important.
Yeah, Sandra was really instrumental too. Like, she was there. There was the three of us, like, really going through it. And, you know, and it was funny because she would have to find Sandra and I in the bathroom getting stuck networking. They're like, where's CJ networking? Where's Sandra networking? And I think that you've seen when we say we network and we talk to everybody, we really do network and talk to everybody. And I think that's important, guys. So what I'm hearing is like the actions align with the words, right? When people tell you, I got your back, and then leave you, that doesn't really feel good, does it? And so I think that's the hardest part that people, I think, don't realize, right? So trust comes with actions. It's not like, that's what I'm saying. Trust is earned, not just by given. Because I think at one point or another, you kind of give trust a little bit to strangers that you don't know based on how they make you feel on that interaction, right? I mean, we've seen this with people when we say, check out this person, sister. How do you feel about this person? And then you're like, I don't know. There's something about that person. Like, we just don't know what's going on, right? Or sometimes you're like, oh my God, I really like this person. Their energy was really giving. Their energy was like amazing. And I like that. So I think it's also that energy and vibe that you get in the very first thing. And that's the initial trust. And I think the full circle trust is when someone tells you you got your back and then really does what they said they're going to do. And I think that's when the trust is earned, right? And from there, pretty much when that person, you consistently see them that they got your back and they never put you on this on a way where it harms you and you feel comfortable, then I think any suggestions moving forward is earning that trust. It keeps earning that trust, right?
Right.
And not like question it or sway it, or even if there's like a little doubt, like I wonder if she really got my back, and then something happened that consistently say, okay, I'm okay because she really did say what she said. And I think that's how I'm seeing that process too for me, right? When someone's like, oh, I got you, and like I'll call you or whatever. And I think for me it's like, it's so funny because you never call people because you've always said, oh, I feel so uncomfortable, like people always think that I'm bothering them. But with me, you're like, pick up the phone, are you okay? And then you text me right away, like after. And it's funny because you never did that, and now you're having that same habit. Like Danielle and I were like, we're pushy to make sure you're okay, right? It's nothing else. So I love that. And we're going to transition actually from the voice framework to clarity. When I created the voice framework, it was designed to help people unmute their invisible mute button and step into the courage, conviction, and presence. But unmuting is just the first step, right? Mm-hmm. Once your voice is free, the question becomes, how do you direct it? Now that you're free, how do you harness all that chaos, right? That's where clarity framework really comes in, because finding your voice in chaos is actually powerful. But knowing how to turn that chaos into clarity is transformational, and that's what we love. Now, the clarity framework gives you like a 7 practice that I've created, but these are like practical steps to ground yourself, sort through the noise, and move forward with confidence and intention. So if you think about the voice framework that I just gave you guys, and then pair this with today with clarity from a complete roadmap, this helps you speak up. The other helps you stay steady and focused when everything around you feels very uncertain, right? So the voice framework gives you that unmuting side. Now that you're free to unmute, now what? Because now there's no structure, because you're so used to muting yourself. So how do you do that? How do you harness that? And so that is where the clarity comes up. So the clarity starts with C, obviously. And this is, I'm going to show you guys this framework. Okay. You guys see that? Right? C is to capture the chaos. L is to locate the core issue. A is align with priorities. R is reframe the perspective. I is to implement small wins. T is to track and task, just like any job, right? Knowing yourself is a huge job. That's the job that you don't get paid. And also the yield and the ROI is so important for you, for clarity, right? And then yield to simplicity, okay? So how do we do that? How do we, okay, let's talk about the first one, capture the chaos. How do we capture those chaos, right? How do we do that? And explain to ourselves, what do you mean capture the chaos? Don't we want chaos? Is it chaos? When you think of that word chaos, right? I'm going to ask my sister. When you think of that word chaos, what is the first thought that comes to mind?
Everything's falling apart. Everything is just, it's a mess. And trying to figure out how you're going to get through it.
Like our living room right now. But anyway, let's...
yeah.
Oh my God. How do we figure this out? How do we navigate to our mess, right? It's true. And why would you want to capture your mess? Like, who does that, right? But here's the thing. Don't ignore or deny the mess, because the first step to clarity is acknowledging the whole full scope of what feels overwhelming. Chaos loses its power once it's named. right? Write down everything right now that feels chaotic instead of holding it in your head, because then you're going to loop. And if you have ADHD, it's really bad for you, because when you capture chaos and you don't have clarity of where you're going, you're going to be all over the place. It's like cleaning. I was explaining to Tom, like, I was doing the laundry. Actually, I was doing the trash, and then I needed to drink water. Then I saw that the laundry was like done, so I took it out and dry it. And then I started folding clothes, but then I had to go to the bathroom because I drink so much water. And then when I was in the bathroom, I saw that I had to clean the mirror, so I cleaned the mirror. Then once I cleaned the mirror, I saw the trash. I like try to clean all the trash. And then after that, and I said, oh, I need to go to the other room because I need to get the trash bag. Well, I saw the other room, and the other room had my shoes all over. So I picked up all my shoes, put it in the shoe box. And then I said, I know I'm supposed to be doing something. I don't remember what it was. And I was like, what was I doing? And then Cheerio like grabbed my leg, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I give her water and then give her food. And then Cha-Cha was screaming, so I picked her up, took the dogs and the birds outside. And then I saw the trash again. I'm like, oh, that's what it was. I got to do my trash, right? So then I did my trash, and then I forgot what I was doing afterwards again.
Yep.
So that's life, right? Like, when you have ADHD, it's just chaos is everywhere. But that is the reason why we need to capture that chaos, right? And the reason that we need to capture that chaos is because we need to center ourselves, right? Center yourself. Pause and ground for a minute. Clarity begins when you create stillness. Take a deep breath. Step back for a minute. If you don't walk around with a notebook, which I don't walk around with a notebook, but I do walk around with my phone, I put it in a notes section. What was I doing? Literally. Neuroscience actually confirms that pausing lowers stress and activates better decision making, right? If you are lack of sleep, you need to take a nap. It's okay to take a nap, right? I promote that because you need it, even 20, 30 minutes, an hour. You need to get those naps going, right? So center and pause yourself and take a deep breath. And that's literally what I did. Center myself, take a deep breath, and said, okay, now I remember what I was doing, but which one is a priority? Which one it needs to happen right now? Well, the trash that are heavy, I can't do it. So I prioritize the trash that I need to throw, that I can lift, right? And I'll have Tom do the big ones. And I have to do that now while it's not hot yet, so I don't get hot. So that was a priority. Then I'm like, okay, is the laundry a priority right now or the bathroom? Oh no, the bathroom, because we're creating trash and we gotta take those trash out because those are not heavy. You see, when you pause and prioritize and keep asking yourself what is important right now, it helps you navigate on what is important, right? Because it with ADHD mind, everything is important like right now. And then it gets overwhelming because you have so many to-do lists, right? So if you, part of that clarity is center yourself, pause and ground yourself, right? Ask yourself, what do I need to release before I can think clearly? What is a must right now? And really think about it logically, right? So that is what capture the chaos means. What do you think about that, sister? Do you think that would work for you?
I do. I know that would work for me. I don't always think of it when I should, but I do have my moments where I feel like I'm not sure which direction to go. I feel like I'm trying to go too many directions at once, and I have my moment of pause. I'll either, and it's a couple of different ways I do it. I mean, one will be that I might be somewhere in the house and it's just like, take a pause to try and figure out where I need to go. Other times it's more of that prayer time. It's that connection of, okay, I need to do something. And I have a seat in basically the only space in the house that doesn't have stuff on it, the only flat space, a chair, because it's like, that's how I look at it. And so I go sit in that chair and say, okay, help me focus, please. What should I do? And then sometimes it comes to me and sometimes not quite, but sometimes it's like, you know what to do. Okay.
Yeah. It's funny how Mike says C's for cookie. You know what? That's okay. That means you're pausing. That's what we want. You need to pause, right? Because when you capture the chaos, you can't capture it if you don't pause. Acknowledging what it feels overwhelming. Just, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to just take a deep breath. Now, L is, you know, locating the core issue. Not everything in your list is equally important. Okay. Clarity comes from finding the root cause of the chaos. Like, is this the real issue? A missed deadline? Or is it lack of communication? Or is it a separate symptoms from the source, right? And is this, like, I feel like for us, at least for my brain, right? When I look at the facts, right? This is when the L is looking at the facts as well. It's separating this noise from the truth. Chaos magnifies assumptions. Clarity actually comes from identifying what is actually true. And we have a lot of assumptions too, because we come from trauma and our experiences dictates what we should do next. So we tend to have a lot of bias in our decision. What facts do I know for certain right now? Ask yourself, what is the fact? What is happening, right? And really locate that core issue. What is the issue? Why am I feeling this way? Now, here's a stats for chaos and stress. It says here from Insightful, it says that 80% of employees say stress negatively impacts their productivity or the quality of their work. No surprise there. Now, in the US, stress-related losses total around $183 billion per year just from decreased productivity. This is from Apollo Technical. They did all the surveys. And then another one from Apollo Technical says overall stress costs US industries about $300 billion annually, right? Via absenteeism, turnover, or reduced output. People just give up on working at 100% capacity. Why should they, right? Now, chaos actually steals attention and time, because a staggering 93.6% of productivity lost at a major U.S. manufacturer came from workplace distractions, not absenteeism. This is actually from Workday. Speaking of Workday, I don't know why they think I am in HR, but they do. And they invited me for a huge event on September 15th to 18th, and I'm not in San Francisco, so too bad, right? Another thing is small interruption lasting just 4.4 seconds can triple your error rates on tasks. And it takes 23 minutes and 15 seconds to fully refocus afterward. This is for every day, right? This is more for the neurotypical. 4.4 seconds. What about the ADHD people? When our brain is interrupted 5 million times, the error is probably 6 times more, right? Now, nearly 90% of U.S. workers face at least one distraction a day, and 1 in 4 get interrupted more than 6 times per day. This is from Workday. So mental overload is actually widespread, powerful productivity anxiety. This is 80% of workers experience it, many battle it multiple times a week, right? This is from the American Institute of Stress. Business.com says daily stress in North America says that 49% of workers feel stress every day, higher among younger professionals. And then burnout is rampant. About 66 to 68% of employees report experiencing burnout on the job, right? And chaos, this is from the UK. The Times company that UK says that in UK, poorly designed workplace costs an estimated 71.4 billion pounds. Productivity wasted by inefficient infrastructure like slow lifts and poor internet. So all of these are stats that's telling you that it's not just about chaotic things, but it starts from individual, because some of us are managers. We manage people. So if we don't know the core issue, you keep band-aiding your issue, you're never going to get that clarity. What are some of your thoughts on that, sister?
You have to have that core issue to be able to move forward in so many ways. I think that's why some of us never quite get in gear, as it were, because we never know what the core issue is. It's too many things, and we can't narrow it down. I have those moments where it's like I need to do this and this and this, and I have difficulties. I had difficulties stop because I feel like they all have to be done right now. And if I do stop, I have difficulties still trying to figure out which one should be the priority, because I can see both sides of the issue for each one, and they're all just as important. So it's like, how do I pick one? How do I make a choice? And it's not always that easy. So finding a way to find that core issue and understand you could have two or three core issues depending on what all you're doing, but you still have to have one has to be the primary, so that you can tackle it first and then move to the next one.
That's funny that you said that, because after L, locating your core issue, is align your priorities. A is for aligning your priorities, right? But you have to really look at the core issue. Like, once the core issue is identified, you need to anchor your response with top priorities, because this will prevent you from wasting your energy and ensures that your action aligns with the bigger vision. So for example, okay, let's just take our situation with you. We're not going to mention what the priorities are, but let's say A is for school and B is for personal. Okay, let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at, okay, if I only have, this is like deduction and induction thoughts. If I only have 24/7 and what is due soon, they're both due, but which one is actually closer to the due date from today, right? What is closer from due date today? Now, both of these are problematic no matter how you look at it. There's problems on B for personal things that you got to do. And there's problems with A because there's just too many to-do lists, right? But within that to-do list, you have to say, okay, out of the five, what is actually due right now or in 24 hours, right? And if you have poor time management skills, really, it's all about fear, too. That's a different story, because time management is not about controlling time, because no one can control time. If you do, I'll pay you. If you don't know how to control the time, I'll pay you. Because from what I know, we can't control time. Time will move past you no matter what you do, right? What you can do is control the activities within the time that you're given. Now, the activities is based on your priority. But if you don't know how to prioritize, ask yourself, what is immediately due in 24 hours? That is your top priority. Now, if you say, well, both of them are due in 24 hours, okay, is it due at 8 a.m. or is it due at 10 a.m., right? Because one of them really will have a timestamp. Now, if you are teaching, it's due at 5 p.m., how long do you think it will take you? Oh, maybe 2 to 3 hours. Or maybe, I don't know. If you don't know, give yourself 4 hours. That's what I do. I give myself 4 hours if I don't know how long this activity is going to be. Because then if I have more time, then it's fine. If I don't have less time, at least I had enough time to research some part of it, right? Now, for the personal, it's due like soon, but it's not in 24 hours. So you have to flip-flop your activities. So now that you prioritize, obviously, A, because that's where your profession is, after you prioritize that, you're going to have to get 4-hour slots to your personal, because you already gave your business that 4 hours, you see? So you can flip-flop those priorities. So if ever you're in question, like, what should I do first? Well, what is due in 24 hours? What is due immediately? That's what you got to do first. You have no choice at that matter, right? And then once you realize, okay, I can do this, and then tomorrow, like, oh, well, I do have to continue to grade. That's nice. But because you already put 4 hours in your personal or your business, now you got to do 4 hours in your personal. Because if you continue to prioritize just the first one, you're going to lose out on the second one, and that's when chaos, you can't control it. right? Because then you know it was due and you just neglected it. And that is not aligning with priorities, right? So right. Ask yourself, does solving this move me closer to my main goal, which is getting rid of my to-do list? Now, the R is reframe the perspective. Chaos will feel overwhelming when seen as a threat, right? Reframing it as an opportunity to grow, to learn, or pivot shifts you into problem-solving mode, right? When you're in problem-solving mode, it's a good feeling because you're helping, whether you're helping somebody or you're helping yourself. Right? So how do I solve this problem? And I guarantee you, I don't care if you're introvert, extrovert, you're not used to it. You want to solve a problem. That's a human being thing. You want to solve the problem, but you don't know how to solve your own problem because you don't know how to capture chaos, right? So if you're capturing it, reframe your perspective. Okay, this is really not a problem. It's a problem to solve, right? It's a problem to solve. And ask yourself again, what is due in 24 hours? If you're going to give time for A, you're going to have to give time for B after, right? So then you're trying to kind of like do the balance shift. So now that I explained that, what are some of your thoughts on that one?
The perspective is always something we have to, I feel like we're always reframing perspectives because everything, especially when life is in flux, how can you not? And so in this case, reframing the perspective, it's trying to understand what, not only what is it that I'm trying to get done, what is it that's competing for my time, which one, in some ways it's like, what's the next thing I can put in there for the perspective? And sometimes for me, it's looking at which one is income that I can't afford to lose versus the other one that's like, I'll do the best I can, but I need to keep that steady income going. I can't afford to lose it. So that might be my perspective, is there's my priority.
Yeah, right. And that actually happens to a lot of people because you put value on one problem of your to-do list over the other. But if you really think about it as, because now you're biased, right? You're thinking this one will sustain me. That one is actually giving me heebie-jeebies because it's a problem, to be honest, right? But instead of everything is falling apart, reframe it to, this is teaching me what needs to change. I'm in the right direction. Right? Like when you were talking to me, like, oh man, I only are given one class or whatever. And I immediately felt that you were going to be feeling bad. And instead I gave you a different perspective and said, well, this could actually, you know, help you. Right?
Right.
And you're like, you're right. You're right about that. Right? So it kind of made you feel like, yes, it is a negative in one aspect, but it also is a positive on another. And I think that's what we need to do, is get into a habit of reframing our perspective. Every time you find something that's negative, reframe it into something that, not necessarily a positive, but something that a problem to solve, right? Because when you change your perspective and reframe it, you can reframe your situation. Reframing allows you to turn your obstacles into opportunities. Positive psychology really shows that changing the lens often changes the outcome. Right? Because like, how could this challenge be a hidden opportunity? No possible way. Yes, it is. It's just changing your mindset on that. And that's what I always tell people. I'm like, change it, change everything, right? Now, eyes for implementing small wins. And I'm very big on small wins. Clarity doesn't require solving everything at once. Small, quick wins reduce overwhelm and build momentum. Like send one clarifying email, delegate one task, or block 1 hour for focus of work, or 1 hour for nap time. I don't know, right? Something to that effect, like implement those small wins. Because when you think of the whole thing, like I have to do all of these, it is really, really overwhelming. So identify your priorities, right? Decide what matters most. Not everything deserves equal attention. Narrow down. What drives the biggest impact? What is the one thing that matters most right now? It goes back to that 24/7 again, right? Identifying priorities. Now, how do you identify priorities, sister?
Haphazardly. Many times that's what it feels like. It depends on what's going on at the time. And I do have those moments where I get frozen because I have difficulties. And there's a couple of ways to get out of it. I mean, one way is to pause. Another way is to call the helpline. And then CJ goes, "What is it?" But that's sometimes we can't do the priorities ourselves because we are so in it that we need somebody to help us see from a different perspective that what seems like a daunting competition really isn't, that you can easily prioritize and get yourself to the next step without tripping over everything.
That's so funny. You're introducing our next one, which is take intentional action, right? You need to move forward boldly. Clarity without action is just wishful thinking at this point, right? Break the next step into something small, doable, and forward moving. Like you said, sometimes we don't have clarity ourselves and we need help, right? So ask yourself, what is the next step that I can take today? Well, maybe that's calling a helpline, right? Or maybe that is asking questions, right? And if you feel uncomfortable asking for help, you don't have to ask for help. You just like, hey, I have something to run by you. What are some of your thoughts about this, right? Mike actually is really good at that. He'll call, well, her text is like, sis, I want to run something over by you. I guarantee you he was already thinking about the answers, right? He already has the answers. But sometimes it's good to have people, I wouldn't say like, oh, you need someone to kind of give you a go signal. It's more of quantitative, right? It's all about numbers. Like if 5 people said, I'm not crazy, I must not be crazy, right? If 5 people said I am, then I must be. I don't know what's going on. How do we change this, right? But that's the thing, is the power of numbers can take a toll on somebody. We talked about algorithms, and I really want to talk about what I thought about God being the first ChatGPT.
Oh, what a conversation that was.
Guys, he is the first algorithm. Like, think about it, right? Because I was telling Susanna, like, when I was young, I was in the Philippines, right? Like, I remember I was 8, looked up the stars, and I think my aunt and uncle were arguing about something. I don't remember what it was. And I cried and I cried and I told God. I was watching a telenovela, and the guy was, I think, Italian. And I told my grandmother, oh, someday I'm going to marry an Italian guy. And my grandma come to me crying. She goes, what happened? And I said, I just asked God and I prayed to God that someday I'm gonna marry an Italian guy. And keep in mind, guys, we're in the Philippines, like 10,000 miles away from where I'm at. And my grandma's like, oh, that's so nice. That's so nice, sweetie. But that's impossible to happen. It's not going to happen. And I said, okay, I guess. But it's wishful thinking. But I'm going to marry an Italian guy. And hence, now I have an Italian guy that I married, right? But you got to be careful what you wish for, because it's like ChatGPT. If you prompt something, the outcome is something. But if you ask God and you don't have the complete picture and context of what you're asking, be careful what you ask for, because he might just give you and then missing everything else that you really want. But at the same time, sister was saying God knows everything. Why can't he just do that? And I said, he can't, because he gave us free will. just like ChatGPT, he could do a lot. ChatGPT could do a lot, but if you don't prompt it and ask it the right way, it's not going to give you the right, you know, thing. Some people are asking, like, why is there no APA citations when I type? And I said, because you didn't train it that way. You didn't ask it. It doesn't give you context, right? But for me, it's automatic because it knows me. I train it. Just like when you talk to your God, the more you talk to your God, the more he knows you, the more he knows what you want, even though, because we all have free will. But you gotta be careful what you ask, because you might just get it, just like ChatGPT. So I said, oh gosh, God is the first open AI, like literally. And he hears everything. And then we talked about the movie, and he's also the algorithm, right? I mean, what was that thought, sister, going through your head when I said that?
Well, I guess first one was, man, this is early in the day to be having this conversation, but...
Yeah, 8 a.m. as soon as we wake up. Oh, my gosh.
But you said it, and I don't remember... You said it, it came out, and then I think that's where I said, I can see the next book.
God is the first algorithm and ChatGPT.
Yeah, basically, I think I gave you the title of it too. It's like, all right, I see the book now. It's going to be God's the first algorithm. And because as we start talking, it's like we're building the case, the writing, the ideas, the focus. It's like, why didn't we record that?
Right? Jeez, we need that recorded. And that is my last point for clarity, guys, which is yield and reflect. True clarity is not static. It grows as you reflect, learn, and adjust, right? So ask yourself, what did this experience teach me and how will I apply it moving forward? That is true clarity. Clarity doesn't mean once you capture chaos and just like, oh, I'm clear what I need to do now, the end. No, it's every day. You have to do it every day, right? Because why? Why do we need to do it every day? Why do you think we need to do it every day? When you yield and reflect, you can change something. Yield it to simplicity, right? Clarity thrives in simplicity. Let go of unnecessary tasks or clutter for this sake, right? And complexity. We like to actually complicate things, right? Yielding means choosing focus over perfection. If something doesn't serve your priorities, just drop it. Just like people, right? Not everybody is like mean or rude or whatever just because you don't talk to them. It just means that they are not aligning with your current priorities in life right now. And it's okay to take a break. And if they don't get that, then that's up to them. You don't need to be mean about it or anything. Just move forward on what you need to do, right? So, yeah, yield to simplicity. How do you simplify your chaos, sister?
Pray. That's almost the only way I can do it, because... I can stand in the middle of it and I'm just not sure which direction to go. And unfortunately, part of that is just my brain's like, do this, do this. I went through it today. It's like, I was going to do, in my mind, it's like, I'm going to do something. And then I start and nothing really got done. I mean, it's a very little bit got done. And then the next thing in my head is, It shouldn't be this small. It shouldn't be this difficult. So why is it? And then it's trying to figure out myself and why some things that seem like they should be simple aren't. And trying not to, and trying to be objective, because sometimes it's because you don't want to do it. But this is something I want to get done. I want to get it out of the way. But for whatever reason, it becomes harder once I start doing it. It's like, this isn't doing what I thought it was going to get done. Now what do I do?
Yeah, sometimes when you have ADHD, time passes by, it seems quicker. And you're like, wait, it's 5? What did we do?
Yeah, there's not 2.
Yeah, you know, like we were talking and it felt like 30 minutes, but actually it was like 2 hours. But anyway...
Uh-huh.
We're like, wait, it's 10? What do you mean it's 10? I have to take a shower now. Like, literally, it was so funny.
I know. I just do that, or I'm doing my makeup during the whole time. It's like,
I'm like, she's like, I'm doing my makeup. I'm like, okay, well, I need to take showers. I just went to go throw trash and stuff. I'm like, I gotta go. And you're like, okay. And then 15 more minutes, like, you're still having a conversation.
30, another hour goes by.
I know. It's so funny. ADHD moment, but it's a good conversation. So for clarity, guys, okay, this is really how to simplify your chaos, whatever chaos that you're going through right now. Capture it, write it all down, right? Chaos actually feels bigger in your head than on paper. A brain dump instantly takes that pressure down. What is chaotic in your life? What's feeling overwhelmed? Locate the core issue. What's the real problem here? Remember, 80% of stress comes from 20% of issues. Did I tell you that? 80% of your stress comes from 20% of your issues. Cut through the noise and find the root of your problem. And align your priorities, right? It doesn't serve your, just serve your top three priorities. I always say top three. It probably doesn't deserve your energy. This is where you just start reclaiming your and controlling what you can. Remember, you can't control people, okay? Nor can you stop time. So you got to control your own perspective, reframe it. Instead of seeing chaos as failure, see it as a feedback, right? Every breakdown is showing you where a breakthrough needs to happen, right? And then implement those small wins. Big change, start with micro actions. Simplify by tackling one thing at a time. One email, one phone call, one clear task, boom, the end. Right? And track and test. Pay attention to what reduces the overwhelm and what adds it. Keep what works, toss what doesn't. And lastly is yield to simplicity. Ask yourself, what can I let go? Simplicity often means subtraction, not addition. The more you release, the clearer things become. Like if your house is all over the place, like mine right now, I can't find anything. And if anybody touches my chaos, I'm lost. They're like, I'm trying to clean it for you. That's nice. But my brain already knows where my chaos was. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. You need to do it yourself. No one can clean up your mess but you. So that is how we went from voice framework to clarity. Yes, we are having a book soon on this one. I think we do need to put it down for sure. I have notes in these, so we're good to go. So is there any last minute thing that you would like to talk about in terms of turning chaos into clarity and unmute by design?
I think it really, when I look at it and I think about it, it's finding the simplicity. I think that's the piece for me that I have the hardest time with is that simplicity, because I look at so many different things and my brain is going, you should do this, you should do this. And sometimes I can't simplify it to a point where I can do what it is I need to do. And that's, is like, I can look at different messes and go, that should be easy to clean, but I can't get myself to do it. And it gets frustrating. So you got to not let, if you want to be clear, if you want clarity, you also have to don't let it frustrate you as you're trying to get there. I think that's probably what I would finish with.
Awesome. I do want to address what Jay, my brother Jay over here, our brother Jay is saying, compartmentalize. I was just talking to my students when I was talking about the clarity, because I use this on my students also. There's a pros and cons to compartmentalization. The first is, I'm going to talk about pro, protect your focus, right? It helps you create work from personal life to so chaos in one area doesn't overwhelm the other. It also builds resilience because lets you park heavy emotions until you're in the safe space to process them, which is good because you're compartmentalizing. And it supports your productivity because it keeps you multitasking everything at once and allows a deep focus on something else. And it also helps create boundaries because you decide what gets your energy and when. That's a good part of compartmentalization. The bad part that's harmful to you is avoidance trap. If you never return to what you parked your emotions, it piles up. And then it turns that into stress and burnout and health issues. That's a problem with compartmentalization. The second thing is it blocks authenticity because over compartmentalizing can make you seem distant, very robotic or disconnected because you always park your emotions. And it also delays your healing because suppressing your emotions instead of processing them can lead to long-term emotional fallout. And the last one for that is fragmented identity. Living in separate boxes is what we call it all the time can make you feel scattered or like you're performing instead of being whole because you're suppressing your emotions. Like right now I'm at work. I want to cry, but I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to be productive. I'm not going to be emotional to these people. Well, guess what? Work might be all the way for 8 hours. So for the last 8 hours, you wanted to cry and you couldn't. Now you can't let it go, right? So example would be like you avoid talking about grief or trauma by burying yourself in work, which I do. And then over time, this unprocessed chaos shows up as anxiety, physical health. I get super bad back pain, migraines, broken relationships. That is harmful. And I know because I'm living it. And that's the reason why I said there's pros and cons to compartmentalization. There's good parts and bad parts, just like anything else. But processing through rather than suppressing is my prescription for that for sure. Thank you guys so much for being here. We love you. Unmute by Design every Sunday. If you have any type of ideas that you'd like to come in, Susanna and I would love to invite you on Sundays to see what you would want to add to Unmute by Design. Bye, everybody. See you on Tuesday for Susanna, Wednesday for me. See ya.
I started in the silence, behind closed doors. Dreams too loud to keep tucked in the floorboards. Late nights, broke days, no applause in sight. Just coffee, hustle, and the fire to fight. They said, play small, but I'm built to expand. No silver spoon, just grit in my hand. I wore every note like armor and steel. Visibility's a battle, but I'm real and I heal. From invisible threats to the front of the stage, I'm rewriting the script, turning scars into page. Level up, rise above the fear. Let them hear your voice, make your purpose clear. Every step, every stumble, every tear in the rough. You were made for this moment, you are enough. Level up, break through the doubt. Turn the whispers of your past into a victory shout. You ain't just chasing clout, you're building a legacy. Now the world's gonna see what they couldn't believe. What they couldn't believe. See the back end, just a headline glow. But success is built slow, where the struggle don't show. Algorithms change, but your mission's divine. You're the brand, you're the vision, you're the power behind. You gave free just to prove you have value inside. Now it's invoices paid and your name amplified. You're not just in business, you're changing the game. And your visibility, that's more than a name. No more shrinking, this is expansion. No more asking, this is commanding. You've been the spark, now you're the flame. Entrepreneur by fire, fueled by name. Level up, above the fear, let them hear your voice, make your purpose clear. Every step, every stumble, every tear in the rough. You are made for this moment, you are enough. Level up, break through the doubt. Turn the whispers of your past into a victory shout. You ain't just chasing clout, you're building a legacy. Now the world's gonna see what they couldn't believe. Yeah. What they couldn't believe.
To the late nights, the lost friends, the risks you took, to the brands you built and the space you shook. Here's your crown, your moment, your spotlight beam. You didn't just chase the dream, you became the dream.